This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, now I'm like in a food coma here, but worth it. That was, I mean, we slammed some food there. Big City Roadhouse stopped by, brought us up two bags full. We got ravioli in there. These Asian-style wings were ridiculous. The bread, I mean, oh my gosh, so good. And then Michael, of course, didn't share the burrito, but what is, what, a 10 out of 10 over there?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a 10 out of 10, it's pretty close to a 10 out of 10. I've never had a Big City burrito before.
Yeah, their burritos are a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, this is a really good burrito.
All right, buy or sell time. Courtland Sutton. Regressing. Didn't have a great game on Sunday against the Colts. In fact, he had just one catch for 6 yards. He was targeted 4 times. Concern there? Are we buying that there's a concern about Courtland Sutton, a guy that I went on record with saying is going to have his career year, had a pretty good game against Tennessee, and then you get a game like that. Is that more of a, well, Troy Franklin starting to emerge, who had 8 receptions for 89 yards? Troy Franklin has a history with Bo Nix. There's more chemistry there, probably, than even what Bo developed with Sutton last year. Or is it like, no, now it's going to be pick your poison kind of thing. Buy or sell concern surrounding Courtland Sutton, and I am selling that today.
Is it because you said this is going to be his career year?
Yes, mainly. Got to keep up with what I've predicted here. So
I have no problem with you doing that. I don't know if I would buy that either. It's game number 2. If he has 2 more games of this, I'm saying there's a contract curse.
Mm. How about this one? On the same note, buy or sell. Troy Franklin has arrived. 8 receptions, bye. 89 yards, and 1 touchdown. Yeah. People are seeing what he can do. He's got that hot, nasty speed.
He was a steal.
He's got that connection with Bo Nix already that they developed in Oregon. Yeah, I would be buying that too. What a game by him. So certainly one of those games where you look at it and say, that's what we needed to see from him. We needed to see his best. That was a career game for him. His best one so far. So buying the hype, GoPokes is buying that hype. He's selling the panic around Courtland Sutton.
Now, I think that the Broncos have 2 receivers that people need to worry about.
That's good.
So
and if
you can get open now.
If you can start getting some production from Evan Engram, whether it's the Joker thing or it's just being an actual tight end, then you start to open up those weapons for Bo Nix. Okay, the ESPN NBA power rankings came out. Still deep into the offseason here. They have the Denver Nuggets listed as 9th. Last year in their rankings, they put them at 6th this time. They are at 9th behind the Los Angeles Lakers, the Orlando Magic, the Golden State Warriors, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the New York Knicks, the Houston Rockets, and of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Buy or sell that that's way too far down the list for the Nuggets. And they got the Golden State Warriors above them. I mean, the Warriors have 3 players 35 or older and under contract for the next 2 seasons. That's concerning. I mean, you got Curry, you got Green, you got Butler. But how are you going to, I mean, seriously, how are you going to put the Warriors above the Nuggets? How are you going to put the Clippers above the Nuggets? The Nuggets just beat them in the first round of the NBA playoffs. So what are we talking about here?
Buy or sell, the people at ESPN can point Denver out on a map.
No, probably. I would buy that. I would buy that they can't. If that's
I would
how we're
buy that
it.
They can't point Denver out on a map of Denver.
Denver's at ninth, huh? Wow. They got the Lakers over them, of course. And I'm not there. Like, I know you got Luka. But what we last saw with the Los Angeles Lakers was a team that got easily dismantled in the playoffs. I mean, this wasn't good for the first trial for Luka Doncic and LeBron James. It wasn't good.
Well, if they have LeBron James, then automatically they're in the top 10. Doesn't matter if it's LeBron James and five interns.
I mean, they lost 4-1 in the series against Minnesota. And Denver, without all of the key additions they made, with guys hurt, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., Russell Westbrook, and you're going to tell me you've got them at ninth? When they took the eventual NBA champions to seven games with a Michael Porter Jr. and a bum shoulder, shooting shoulder, Aaron Gordon with his calf, Russell Westbrook, we learned, had the finger stuff. And now this team swapped out Michael Porter Jr. And they made enough big moves, in my mind, to justify them being a top-tier team. You know, a contender-type team. Yes, I think they got better in the offseason because of the moves that they made. Much deeper bench. And you're going to tell me that they're sitting at number 9? That is absolutely wild to me. But yeah, you talk about some of the moves that Denver made. That's when you know, okay, this is a team that's not really messing around. They moved on from their coach. They moved on from their GM. That seems like a lifetime ago already. But for them to go out and get Cameron Johnson, the Nets, God bless them for making that trade. But you get Cameron Johnson. You get Bruce Brown back on this roster. I don't know if he's going to be the same player he was last time around when the Nuggets won the championship. But there's a fan favorite thing there. There's a boost there where a guy like him might play his best basketball in front of Denver. And then you get Jonas Valanciunas. That whole debacle, that whole thing worked out. He's going to go for it. You didn't know if he was going to stick around, but you get him, you get Tim Hardaway Jr. And you're going to tell me this team's worse than they were last year? A team that took OKC to 7 when everybody was bruised and completely tattered by the end of this thing? Oh, and you still have the greatest player that's ever existed, Nikola Jokic. So, yeah, it's wacky to me. It's September 16th, we are getting dangerously close to Nuggets and Avalanche season 2, Mike. That's what I'm saying. Get your football in now because now you got the balance. October is the greatest, one of the greatest sports months. Maybe it is October the greatest sports month in America? Because you got Major League Baseball playoffs, you got the Nuggets starting, or NBA starting, you got the NHL starting, and you're knee deep in NFL and college football stuff.
Well, you should start off with NFL and college football because that's the best sport. And then follow it with hockey and basketball.
Doesn't matter. The question isn't your really goofy time to pick out your rankings of your sports that you watch when you're in your Legos PJs. Is October the best month of sports? This isn't your time to go, Broncos are the greatest and everybody else is just not very good. Nobody wants to hear that, bro. Answer the question.
Broncos are the greatest, no one else is good. And yes, I agree. October
Thank
is
you.
A great sports
Thank
month.
You. Was that so hard? Was that so hard to take that and answer the question rather than go into, here's my top 2 list? Was it so hard?
Well, I hadn't heard you make that impression of me yet today, and I just go, gosh darn it, I wanted to hear it.
It's pretty spot on, is it not? That impression is spot on, Mike. Come on.
I mean, I thought Lego pajamas was a funny joke. They are Broncos pajamas.
I don't know if that's a joke. You would sport some Lego pajamas if you could. Faith texting, and now I don't feel like cooking dinner, LOL. Food persuasion always works on me. Just go by Big City Roadhouse this afternoon or this evening and tell them we sent you. And I would order the ravioli. Tanner would tell you to order the wings. Derbs is probably somewhere in between. Micah might go with the burrito again.
No, I'd still say order pizza because every day is a pizza day. But this, if you want to get a burrito, this was a good burrito.
Pizza is really good. Outstanding work by them. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, we want to do our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question of the day. How about that? Let's get to it. Load it up. Save the number, by the way. 970-353-1310. You're going to enter for your chance to win a $20 gift certificate that we'll give away on Friday. And if you win that, not only do you have a $20 gift certificate good at Diamond Valley Collectibles, you will be entered for the $100 gift certificate at the end of the year and a signed jersey, courtesy of Diamond Valley Collectibles. Patrick Surtain was covering receivers slash tight ends that were targeted 9 times. My question today, how many yards did he give up? I will give you about a 5-yard cushion here. Be the first caller to get it right. 970-353-1310. How many yards did passing yards did Patrick Surtain ultimately give up on Sunday when receivers or tight ends that he was covering were targeted 9 times? 970-353-1310. How many yards did Patrick Surtain give up on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts?
And keep in mind, he was hurt
for most
of that game.
Yep, he was hurt. No go, Pokes. You're cold. You're cold. 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. How many yards did Patrick Surtain give up in the passing department on Sunday? 17 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Go ahead. Answer that poll question. Just need to know your yards. I'll give you a 5-yard cushion there. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
That's an interesting thought. Eastside Chris says October is the best month for sports. February is the worst. I would say July. July is the worst because it's just baseball.
I agree with you.
Yeah. You got training camp and stuff, but I would go July as the absolute worst month. If the Rockies were good, would July be a better month than February?
Yes, but it would still be worse. I mean, you have Canadian football, but how many people have channels for Canadian football?
I don't mess with any other football other than the NFL and the NCAA. I just can't do it.
I would watch that, but like Canadians, there are some weird rules in that. Like they have like a 3-point extra point or something. It's wacky. If you kick it in the end zone and it bounces in a weird way, it's 2 points.
I don't know anything about it. Texter here. Oh, on the dude down the hall. Coolest walk-up song ever. The dude has got it. He does. I wanted to bring Derbs in here to try this food because he's a little more sophisticated when he's reviewing stuff. I'm just like, I'm not a great food critic because I'm like the least picky person when it comes to food. So that's why I was like, I want to do this right for Big City Roadhouse here. So we brought Derbs in. We brought Tanner in. And we brought you in, Michael, and you didn't split that burrito up with us at all. You walked in, grabbed the burrito, walked out before they could even finish.
I did declare ahead of time that the burrito or the pizza would be mine. So
yeah.
I made the declaration before the
You just like,
died.
But that, like, you know, you didn't, it's like the chicken, the little red hen. Like, you didn't set up the interview or get to know them. And then yet at the end of all of it, you're like, I want to eat the bread. And I'm the little red hen here. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't help get to know these people, invite them onto the show, interview them, and then
How
they
do
brought
you know
back
that
the food.
I don't know them.
I just know. You barely get out of here. Like, you live here, pretty
much. I mean,
much.
That's true. But you didn't know that necessarily.
Yeah.
Maybe we go to...
No.
They go to my house, I go to their house, and we have pizza mm-hmm. parties all the time. It's possible in
zero chance.
Some alternate dimension.
I just assume if I meet a new person, there's zero chance you know them. Because where are you going? You know?
I could go to someone else's house for a pizza party in an alternate dimension.
Do you like parties? Do you?
I'm not a party person.
Yeah, exactly. Well, County Swami says, I declare Micah is a jerk. Oh, man. It was kind of a jerk move. We had a community table here. We were all breaking bread. And you came in and just took yours. We were going to split the burrito up, cut it up in sections. And you just took your portion and scurried on out while Derbs and Tanner and I shared and fed each other wings and stuff.
I mean, you guys weren't even using silverware. You were, like, feeding each other just like,
yeah.
Here you go.
We're all close here.
Directly from my hand to your mouth.
We don't need plates. You know, we get a big, big soda with three straws. You know? We're a tight-knit group.
You guys should have seen how they were eating the ravioli. It was very friendly.
The ravioli was so good. I'm stuffed, though. Like, we ate a lot of food in a very short amount of time. And you're still working on that burrito back there? Or did you finish
it? I just
it?
Finished it.
Did you polish it off? Good for you, Mike.
By the way, I did not ask for any other. I did not ask to sample the wings or anything else.
That's true, but the thought is...
absconded with the burrito.
The thought
and
is...
And I've left the rest for everyone else.
When a business brings us something as a team, we all kind of create a buffet out of it. So we all get to try stuff and determine whether or not, you know, what's going to be our favorite. And you didn't give us that chance. Although I've had a Big City Burrito. Tanner's never had it. So you kind of let him, you drop the ball.
Tanner was mean to me today. I don't
know
what's
going on. Well, you stole food. You stole food.
He's got negative. He was just been negative to me all
morning.
Do you remember
when you stole the breakfast burrito?
What's going on, Tanner?
You remember when you stole the extra breakfast burrito? You remember that time?
I think it's because the first thing I did when I walked in was I scared him.
I remember you stole, somebody brought four breakfast burritos, and Brian got one, Tanner got one, you got one, and there was one other for somebody else, like me or Derbs or something, and you went ahead and said, you know what, I just finished this burrito, that looks like it's for somebody else, I'm going to take that, and that's also mine.
But you guys never acknowledged.
I'm doing it right now.
No, you never acknowledged the next day mm-hmm. I bought burritos for the entire office.
You did, because you felt bad. I think you learned the error of your ways, so you made up for that one. I'm curious to see how you're going to make up for this one.
I'm not. I mean, I've bought burritos before, and you guys are like, meh.
No, I'm all in when you buy burritos. I love it when you do that. It's fun.
Yeah, but then you go back to the, you remember that time? I'm going to
hold
it against
you. We got to hold
it. And then hold it against you again.
Yeah, we got to keep the history. We got to, that way people know when we get texts that say, why, Brady, you're so mean to Michael, you need to know the history of why. Like, that's why.
Based off of a burrito.
It's that kind of stuff that happens more often than not.
I could understand, like, if that first time it was a Big City burrito, but it was like a generic burrito.
Yeah, well.
I think the company actually said generic burrito.
I will forgive you for this, but I will still bring it up again. Forgiven but not forgotten.
Okay.
Because if you forget, then you make the same mistakes, right? So we just got to be on the lookout when we order four burritos, any moment Michael could take off and away we go. You guys can't convince me on this CSU thing that the Braden Fowler Nicolosi, the Jackson Broussard thing. I'm going to say the same thing I said about CU last week. Being in a quarterback competition, I guess 3 weeks into the season because it was their bye week, is not something that I look at and go, yeah, that makes sense. Now, when Clay Millen was benched for CSU 2 years ago, BFN, there was a noticeable difference, I guess, and then you had the bye to prepare for the Buffaloes, it made sense, I guess. But I don't think there were high expectations for CSU that year. Maybe there were. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Because Jay Norvell was in his second year, and you're wanting to see, okay, can you go for what they win, three with him the first year or something like that? And then you won five the next year. So I do think that the expectations this year are that you are competing for a Mountain West championship in your final year in the Mountain West, because the expectations have changed, Mike. You're going to the Pac-12. Whatever that's going to be, you want that conference to be as good as it possibly can be. And that's for every single team that's jumping ship.
It's not going to be good. After this last week with Washington State getting crushed by North Texas, Pac-12's going to suck.
Even with Boise State?
The Pac-12, one of your anchor teams, which was already
Washington
one of
State
the toilet teams
Oregon State.
Of the former Pac-12, one of your anchor teams, just lost to a traditional, I mean, they used to be a cupcake, then they moved up, so they counted as a donut, and now they're starting to get better. But you lost to them 59-10.
Yeah.
I think it was 59. You were down at the half 42-3. That
was
one
awful.
Of your anchor teams.
That was off. What did Oregon State do this week? Do we know?
I'd have to check.
Yeah, it's hard for me to keep track of everything.
That's ridiculous. Like, you are considering the Pac-12 conference a better conference? Not anymore.
Yeah, and that's why we looked at this non-conference schedule. Oregon State, to be fair, got absolutely worked by Texas Tech. 45-14.
Yeah, but Texas Tech is...
Yeah.
A better team.
But 59-10, North Texas over Washington State. Like, the optics of that just aren't good. And then in the Mountain West Conference, of the teams that are jumping ship, Utah State whooped up on Air Force, so that was a positive for the exiting teams. Fresno State did what they needed to do against Southern. And then that was it. So, I'm kind of leaning there, but the whole point, I'm leaning with you on that. Like, I'm wondering if the Pac-12 is going to, how long it's going to take and if there's enough time. Because we keep talking about the big picture stuff of when this thing splits off and it's the CFP and then there's everybody else, will the Pac-12 be involved in that?
The Pac-12 is just going to be a basketball conference and football is going to be an afterthought.
I mean, that's... Case in point, in Fort Collins right now. I mean, for the last 5, 6, 7 years, there has definitely been a shift for CSU into a basketball school over a football school. Nico Medved obviously getting to three March Madness entries out of 4 years. And then he gets a big job, goes to Minnesota, perfect spot for him. Back to his hometown, his home college. And then Ali Farokmanesh, it sounds like everything we're seeing, he's kicking butt on the recruiting trail still. He's gotten after. And again, we don't know until we see these guys play and all that stuff. But you go read up on them, and always some pretty good things being said about a lot of these new players. CSU football is in a very delicate spot right now. Because you see Washington State lose that badly.
To North Texas.
That means that you think you should be able to beat Washington State, correct?
You should.
So, and UTSA is a favorite in this game. So if you go 1-2 to start the season, and you slip against Washington State, and you are 1-3 in non-conference play, that would spell the worst-case scenario for Colorado State jumping out the gate. Because, again, the one win they had was a very controversial win where a lot of people still feel like UNC should have gotten that win. They shouldn't have overturned the call on the field. 303 says, sounds like you guys had a major food porn session. Don't tease me like that. Well, then you got to get over there to Big City Roadhouse, and you'll enjoy it.
There's a reason why we keep promising cameras and we don't have them.
Well, they would have just seen a bunch of really out of shape dudes devouring food as fast as they possibly can.
I mean, if you're into that thing.
It was good. Very good. I said I'm going to try everything on the menu, so I've gotten a few things down already just from that trip from Cleta and Don bringing us food by. That was fantastic.
But you don't have the burrito down because I have the burrito down.
Because you stole it. Anyway. Yeah, there's concerns here. And if you lose to UTSA, what does that mean for the rest of the season? A lot of this is all about Braden Fowler, Nicolosi. But the stuff that scares me is like, yeah, we're going to go back to basics. We're going to go back to basics with him. And we got Brohard on here talking about footwork with us. Now, again, there's college footwork and there's NFL footwork. At this point, BFN's footwork at the college game has taken a step back. And that is pretty concerning considering this is his third year as the guy because he took over in that first week at halftime against Washington State in his first year with Colorado State. So that is a pretty significant concern I have right now. And I said the same thing about Colorado. You're on your third string quarterback and we're thinking you're going to go beat Houston. That was why I picked Houston. Not necessarily a knock on Staub, but you've gone through two guys now, and it's not just the quarterback. CU has a lot of issues, and I'm pretty concerned about their season this year. But on the CSU side, you're trying to, for CU, you kind of have a pass this year. Like you said yesterday, there was health stuff with Coach Prime, and you are shifting away from two mega stars that are, however you want to say this, are going to go down in history as two of the great CU Buffs. Yes. Travis Hunter, any argument there?
No, not Travis Hunter.
But Shador's not going down Shador as one of the tops?
Was Shador, I don't know, maybe?
Yes, yeah. He was. He wasn't Cordell Stewart, but he was good. And he will go down as one of the tops for CSU. I don't know, top 10, maybe. Whatever. Top 20?
But retiring the jersey.
Yeah, a little silly. But you're still replacing two guys that, I mean, Shador saved games for them. Look at the Baylor game last year. Travis Hunter saved games for them. Look at how that TCU game went. He was all over the place. Texter says, as a Utah State alumni, I'm feeling much better. Glad we have a good coach now. But man, I didn't expect the play we are seeing with CSU. Yeah, Utah State. I don't think CSU plays Utah State this year, which is a good thing for CSU. Utah State, watch out. They might have just jumped up in the power rankings because that quarterback is really good. Bryson Barnes, he's fun to watch. I'm going to be dialing into some Utah State games here in the near future. Who do they have this weekend? I think McNeese, they'll win that. And then they have Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's number 20. Ranked 20th. We got the rankings that came out today.
I don't recall Vanderbilt being ranked very often.
Is Vanderbilt 20? Yeah, they are 20. 3-0 to start the year. How about that? I remember when they came to Fort Collins a few years ago, and it was like, oh, you're playing the worst team in the SEC, and they're never going to get any good. I think Vanderbilt beat them. But they beat South Carolina last week. 31-7. So, anyway, I digress. The rankings came out, and you've got Ohio State at number one. No surprise there. Penn State at two. LSU, Miami. Miami destroyed Southern Florida. So Southern Florida is now out of the top 25. Georgia, Oregon, Florida State, Texas, Illinois, and Texas A&M at the top 10.
You should see Vanderbilt's schedule. They've got a decently easy early season schedule, and then LSU, Missouri,
ooh, yeah.
Texas, Auburn, Kentucky's the easy one, Tennessee.
Did you mention Alabama?
Oh, yeah, Alabama.
Smitty texting in, Jay is coaching for his job. BFN is playing for a starting spot. Anyone who says different isn't being honest. 100%, I agree with you. Let me ask you this, Smitty. Lose to UTSA, is Jay Norvell gone? Probably not.
No.
But start 1-3? in conference play with the one win being a very controversial call against UNC? Is he gone?
If he goes 0-5, or which would be 1-4,
but it would feel like 0-5.
I think you seriously consider.
Yeah. This is a monster game for CSU. Cannot stress that enough. These next two weeks are, I mean, we're talking maybe a firing of a coach in the middle of the season. Maybe. I don't always agree with that, and I don't think I agree with that, but it is what it is. And as an athletic director, if he's not your guy, don't let random ball rolls the right way going up against Mountain West opponents and suddenly you get 6 wins out of this whole deal, and then it's like, well, he got better, and now it'd be a bad time to fire him because he won his last 5 games. If you think he's not the guy in 2 weeks, maybe that's when you need to make the change.
And firing someone in the middle of the season, you've said you're not a fan of. I'm also not a fan of.
Well, because what are you going to do? You're going to put guys in that he hired to be the head coach? But I guess it...
Unless you really like that guy and you're thinking that guy is the future.
I don't know that you look at anybody on the coaching staff where you go, yeah, that guy's the future of this team. Like basketball for CSU last year, it was pretty obvious. It was Ali Faroukmanesh is going to be the guy. Well, why? Because they were successful. When you have a successful team consistently, you start looking at the assistants and you start listening to all their recruits that are saying, Ali Faroukmanesh got me there. Ali Faroukmanesh got me there. And it's like, okay, that's the guy. For CSU, they won 8 games last year. That was the best season in several years. So we don't have enough of a good history of Jay Norvell already to say anybody on that staff is this young. I mean, I like Matt Mummy. I like his story. I like the air raid stuff and his dad, Hal. It's legendary. But I don't know that Matt Mummy has like a history of even wanting to be. And plus, he's Jay Norvell's guy. Does he be the interim coach when it probably means he can't tag along with, and I mean that in a respectful way, but tag along with Jay Norvell and wherever he might go next? So I just don't see anybody like Bill Best. I don't know. 42 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we'll stay on this Rams thing. Go Pokes texting in, says, lose by 40, is he gone? If you get embarrassed by UTSA in Fort Collins, they're going to lose by 40. No, not going to lose by 40. I don't know if they're winning. Picks are on Friday, everybody knows that. I don't know.
They are not winning.
Against UTSA? Are they beating Washington State?
I think they could beat Washington State. I think Washington State's got some problems. They won those first two games, and then suddenly we found out Washington State's not a good team.
Yeah, that becomes a game you really need to win. I'm going to get to this because Smitty says conference championship game to secure his job for Jay. UTSA is important, but it isn't important, but it is important. Well, yeah, you can go 1-4 or 1-3. And then you can get hot like you did last year. They struggled in non-conference play last year. And then they jumped out the gates and beat San Jose State. And they only lost one more game in the Mount West. Got them to 8 wins. They were a game out of getting into the Mount West Championship. But they lost to Fresno State.
How many games can they lose? But if they beat Wyoming, if they get the grace from the win against Wyoming and the win against Air Force, is that enough?
I don't think so. I mean, they say you know, people around that camp are saying 8 wins is the floor, or yeah, 8 wins is the floor, and they're at 1 right now. I believe Jay has a December or January date where the buyout is reduced. I don't know if it's so. Here it is. If CSU fires Norvell without cause, he will be owed $1.5 million if fired in 2025. So by not firing him last year, you don't have to pay him $2.5. He would be owed the remainder of his base pay if fired in 2026. So his base pay is all they would have to give him if they wait until January 1st.
So I'd wait until January 1st.
Right. That's the other thing, too. Do you want to just throw $1.5 million at him in 2025 plus what he's being owed for the year? I don't think you want to do that. It's tough, man. It's really tough. They're at a tough spot, and this UTSA game becomes absolutely... I think it's pretty critical. I don't think they'll fire him. If you start out the gates 0-2 in Mountain West play, that's where I think we're going to start really crunching down. But it won't help. It will not help if you lose to UTSA this weekend.
I don't think he gets fired this year.
I don't think so. I'm with you. If I had
think
to make
they
a prediction.
Want to save that money, but I think with the record that they're going to have, and it's going to be a bad one, he's gone January 1st, 2026.
Yeah. 150 the time. What do we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, what did we learn? That Big City Roadhouse is legit. I mean, I had
super legit.
Two things on the menu last week. I had a lot today, very full. And I did not mention this, but John Michael Gillenborg on the Wyoming side, it does sound like he is going to play this weekend. Wow, I was worried about that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Roadhouse.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.